Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Truth.
And welcome to Stop the Presses. And that's what we need to do is stop the presses. The Federal Reserve's printing presses and the newspaper's printing presses, the mass media cartel. It's the 5th of June, 2019. Like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with the Mark and Ron show that happens, once every 4, 5, 6 weeks. I believe the last time was the first show in May. I happened to be in New Mexico at the time on holiday, as they like to say in the UK. Ron, you out there?
I'm here.
Body, mind, and spirit. Good to know. Yes, yeah. Just a forewarning. The doors lock on the outside, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot escape the entertainment today. Pretend that we're a band and you're seeing us in a nightclub. The doors are locked on the outside. You might as well sit and listen. That's just the way we operate. And, Ron, I've been compelled, and I do use the word compelled literally, to buy more copies of the New York Times lately than I otherwise would because Bilderberg was happening. And I had to read the tea leaves from their meeting in Switzerland, May 30 through June 2nd. So I even parted with $6. You heard me correct, $6 for this past Sunday's paper. And I did briefly hesitate as I prepared to make the purchase. I thought, $6 for this load of beep-boop, blank out. And I picked it up, and the Sunday Review is part of the weighty 3 or 4 pound product they call the Sunday Times Edition. Of course, Sunday papers being bigger than the other days of the week. And I'm leafing through it, trying to find little morsels about Bilderberg. I found a few things that might help in terms of what's going on. I'll talk about a couple of those things before long here. Something called Election Guard, I'm going to mention. But Ron, I picked this up, and on the front of the Sunday Review, there's a couple things here. A real big no-no in terms of even newspaper design. The front has got a piece of graphic art that's about 12 inches wide by about 14 to 16 inches deep. And it's all one big graphic with a picture of a gun. And here it says, after my son was killed in a school shooting, and this is superimposed over the gun, this wording, after my son was killed in a school shooting, I began fighting for stricter laws. I knew guns were the problem. Then I became a gun owner. And the article on the inside, like many Sunday pieces in the Times, is a very subjective account. One of the things that is generally been discouraged in newspapers, except for letters to the editor, is writing with a lot of first person. I this and I did that. Usually newspaper stuff is written in the third person. They did this, John did that. And so stylistically, things get very subjective when you're writing everything in the first person, as you know, Ron. But this article goes on to conflate together this guy being conflicted that his son was killed in 1992 at an educational institution's shooting, a shooting that took place at an educational institution in the Northeast. And he grieved a lot for that. And yet, he's now conflicted because he feels he should be a gun owner And yet he's not sure. And now he's feeling all this remorse for caving into the gun lobby. It's a little hard to even understand what he's getting at. But in the article, at the top of the second column that this big piece of graphic art refers to, let me see. It says, "My relationship with guns," interesting words, "my relationship with guns at that time was uncomplicated." When he was younger, before his son was killed, I had hunted as a kid, and I had received basic firearms training when I joined the Navy in 1967. But like many people in the liberal circles in which I traveled, you think, I believed that guns were stupid and awful, and there was something fundamentally wrong with people who like to use them.
Wow. It's quite obvious that the gun is being personified. It is a living entity. You can have a relationship with them. It can go bad. You can get a divorce. You can get married to a gun. Guns are stupid. When did guns become intellectual? I'm not sure when the gun was ever very smart. I don't think anybody ever claimed a gun was smart or intelligent or could figure out problems or do anything on its own. I mean, it's really infantile, and it shows the presumption of the deviants, really of the criminal element that is running that New York Times thing, to write such trash and think that people are going to buy that. And even to presume they're going to buy it, it's an insult to the population. It's slapping them in the face with an article that they should literally stop the – they should stop – talk about stop the presses. They ought to stop buying that damn thing.
Well, I couldn't have put it better, Ron. It is a personification. He's saying, "I used to love that gun, but it's all over now." It's like
– I mean, he's got to go to drinking now because my gun done me wrong.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep laughing because I can't hold it back, because that's literally what this is. You know, if I play the record backwards, my son will come back to life. And, you know, I mean,
it's kicking the dog and all that. It's all because of a lousy relationship with his gun. His gun, I tell you what happened. His gun went off with another and cheated. His gun cheated on him.
Well, yeah. So in this milieu that he's talking about, he had a good relationship with guns when he was young. They went through courtship. They kind of had a marriage. Then things went awry when his son reportedly got killed. I'll call it a fact for now. I won't use the word allegedly. But now, you know, he then had this kind of one night stand and decided he liked guns again, but now he feels bad. You know, he hates himself for loving guns. That would be his theme song. I hate myself for loving guns.
And that's right. You're right on. I noticed that earlier, Mark. What it is, the whole article, the gist of the article is that damn gun has forced me to lower myself to hang out with it again. I'm hanging out with a whore now for self-protection. I really hate that bitch, but because everybody else has got one and doing wrong, I have to do this.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to laugh this entire show. I mean, it's not funny in a sense, but in a sense, it's absolutely hilarious.
I mean, people either ought to be burning the building down or laughing their brains out. Or both, you know.
It's cheaper and easier to laugh your brains out, which is why you're hearing me speak this way on today's show. instead, it would sound like this. I'm coming to you from downtown Manhattan. Can you hear me over the traffic? I'm coming to you from downtown Manhattan. You're hearing the match strike. Here's some gasoline. This is the new Times building. Oops, it's all steel and glass. I don't think it's going to burn real easily. And, of course, this is a parody, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone
listening. Yeah, just burn some paper out on the sidewalk or something. Just do something, you know.
Well, a New York Times bonfire might be in order somewhere sometime.
Yeah. Well, I got a better one. dress up like a pistol in a dress and big lipstick and eyelashes and go prancing off down there shaking your behind. I mean, who would buy such a piece of literature as that?
Yeah, well, unfortunately I did, but not for reasons that we might be thinking of. I bought it.
Well, I didn't mean purchase the paper. I meant who would accept the argument? Who would read that and just go, well, you know, that's really sad. I really agree with that. No, oh, man, that is just something. We need to pick up those firearms before they go off and commit whoredom and adultery with every other what? What is a gun having adultery with? I mean,
next thing you know, it's going to be a wife writing a jilted article. My hubby ran off with his gun.
That's right.
He called it the Pink Lady. And yeah. They ran off together.
that gun came in wearing some nylon and some stockings, and I ain't seen him since.
Oh, I mean, you know, short of crying, laughing is a much better option than crying, and therefore the levity on today's show, and any references, by the way, here's a disclaimer, any references to what dimly sounded like arson are just that. It's just a parody. It's just making fun. It's not literal. Okay, disclaimer's over now. I mean, there you go. I mean, I couldn't read the whole thing, partly because the print's too small, and then the article's like 3,000, 4,000 words. On top, you have to walk through 3,000 or 4,000 words of that kind of gelatinated prose. And by the time you're done, you just feel like somebody bludgeoned you. You know, and so the weaponized media. I keep waiting for them to hit bottom, Ron. Ron, there ain't no bottom.
There isn't a bottom to this stuff. I mean, they'll go as far as you will take it. I mean, as far as you'll put up with it, they'll go there.
I'm not even sure that that's the limit. you know, and that's apart from other things in the New Pork Times. You know, I mean, the whole thing, you know, is a peon or you know, reflection of or reflection toward, you know, an homage for modernism and Marxism and Zionism and internationalism and transnationalism and Atlanticism, all the isms and schisms, but all it's causing is schisms in the body politic and dividing people even more. And you know, the strange thing is, you know, you look at not just the content of these articles, and the Mark and Ron show, ladies and gentlemen, is usually media criticism wall to wall. So if you don't like it, turn to another station. That's what we do. We throw things at the media. We say unnice things, and we break it down. But I'm thinking you're entertained. Like I said, the door's locked from the outside. You're a captive audience, perhaps. But right underneath this, Ron, you have this big graphic about the gun. And underneath it, there's an article. And in most newspaper designs, the article would be combined with the graphic. The graphic and the article would go together. But I looked at it more closely, and the article, which is called Grief Without God, starts on the front page of this Sunday Review and jumps to page 6. And then the guy that had a divorce with a gun and then now is with a gun that's like his prostitute – starts on the front of this section and jumps to page 4. But there seems to be a conflating going on here by the positioning of the one article with the gun graphic, where the two do not go directly together. But then the more I look at it, the more I think the juxtaposition of the two did have an intent, because the article, The Grief Without God, is about leaving your religion. And this guy had been a Jehovah Witness, and the very first words of the article are, several years after leaving my religion, I felt sure I had encountered all the situations I might need to get used to in my new life. Again, all written in the first person, very subjective. You know, somebody's bearing their soul for the readers. And, you know, emotionalism by itself can be very tricky. It can cause a lot of distortions in the message, or even be used to distort the message on purpose. That's sometimes the purpose of emotionalism. But the fact that they put this graphic together with this article, again, what I see here now is, and this article goes on to say, the guy used to be a Jehovah Witness, but it's all over now. He divorced his religion, just like the other guy divorced his gun. You get the connection?
Right.
So now he divorced his religion, but then he was finally finding happiness in a more secular worldview, he says. Amber Scora, Amber, S-C-O-R-A-H, Amber, it's a she, whereas the gun article is a he, Gregory Gibson. Well, Amber says that she left Jehovah Witnesses behind. That's a sect or branch of Christianity. Some of us don't always agree with it, but it is part of the overall Christian, you know, variety, I guess you'd say.
Right.
So she left the Jehovah Witnesses, went secular, went agnostic, atheistic, had a son, felt like her immortality would be taken forward through her son, and her son would have kids and so on and so forth. And of course, God does give humanity that little bit of immortality here on earth through, you know, the birth of children and the march of the generations of human beings, the bloodlines. That's how we get that. But when her son died young, quite young, now she had, she doesn't know how to grieve because she no longer has God. And now her son is no longer with us, but she doesn't want to go back to Christianity. So you have this divorce of God and the divorce of guns, both on the same page of the New York Times from this past Sunday. And it's clear that they are laboring day and night in these newspapers to break down the basic tenets of not just what we consider American constitutionalism, but basic Christianity, the basic idea of a Christian culture. This newspaper is at constant, relentless war with.
Yes. I agree.
Yes.
I don't know what to say about the having not read it, but does it talk about her getting back? She never goes back to her initial religion or faith, which was, what'd you say it was, a Jehovah's Witness?
That's correct.
And she doesn't go back there, but she or to any other Christian group, but rather remains atheist, and then loses the son. And apparently, she never. That doesn't sound like a winning story, though, to me. Does it try to make some kind of a good thing out of that, or now she's truly matured and has a mature, informed and intelligent view of the world now and herself, or does it leave you going, boy, this woman's in a bad shape, you know?
It pretty much goes off into a philosophical netherworld. She's quoting Confucius. She's left in a quandary, basically. But one of the call-out quotes, we're getting up to the break here, you know, where they enlarge part of the text that's in the regular story. And look at what they choose for the call-out quote. There is no heaven, no door at the end of my life that I will find my boy behind.
Yeah, well, then apparently they're just saying, in essence, you really don't. You can still survive. You really don't need God to deal with any of this. That you just have to face facts, and the fact is, there's no God. And there's none of that, and it's all just circumstance.
Yeah, we'll be back with more here on Stop the Presses after this message.
No hero in the tragedy. No devil in your Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And returning to Stop the Presses. On the 5th of June, 2019, your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live. Thanks to John Stadtmiller for having me fill in last night on his National Intel Report, joined by Hesher, or Hesh, of Alternate Current Radio. That was a very good time. Going 2 hours is not always easy, but we got a lot of good material in there, playing that audio clip from the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and Global Cities. A very good one to watch. Or listen to, rather, on the archive, ladies and gentlemen, that being the 4th of June, parts 1 and 2 of the National Intel Report here at republicbroadcasting.org. Continuing my conversation with my periodic co-host, Ron Avery, the Ron and Mark Show, or the Mark and Ron Show, however you want to say it. We're usually targeting the media. And before we get into the second half of the show, Ron, where I want to get into the census, you were saying something during the break about Cortez. For this short segment before the bottom of the hour, that would be a good topic. Then we'll get into the census, media duplicity regarding Syria, and some other matters. But what is this with this Congresswoman Cortez?
Well, I've been just kind of amazed that she gets as much airtime as she does when she says some of the most ridiculous things. And a whole group of us, I got sucked into one of these things where she said we should alter the time changes or something so we could have more global less global warming or something like that from the sun, as if you could alter the amount of sunshine or the amount of heating or cooling by changing the times.
I can't help but interject. You mean people could go to work at like 1 a.m, get home at 7 a.m. before the sun comes up, and then hide from the sun all day? I can't help but asking, but keep going.
Yeah, and what does that have to do with global warming and cooling? What is the time of day? Changing the times of day. Well, anyway, people got involved in that and then said, oh, she's so stupid and it's a math problem, and if she knew anything about calculations and math, she'd be able to figure out there's no change. And it's not even a math problem. But here I got sucked into it too. And so everybody spent 2 or 3 hours talking about this idiot. And what's the purpose of that? Why does this woman get much coverage at all? If we had serious news people in Washington, she wouldn't get 10 seconds of time. I mean, why cover an idiot? I mean, why give them a lot of airtime? I mean, come on, let's talk about the issues, not what some blithering idiot who knows nothing about apparently the rotation of the Earth or the planets or any of that, and just comes up with stupid stuff. I mean, that shouldn't even be covered, really.
Well, yeah, certainly one thing, and I've covered Capitol Hill, is, you know, the natural instinct. Yeah, you find interesting people that have interesting things to say, like Bernie Sanders, Rand Paul, but you also don't give inordinate amounts of coverage to one person, no matter who they are, especially right. if they're, you know, a bit of a dim bulb, let's just say, let's be kind. And so, you know, in the interest of balance, in the interest of some reasonable cross-section and variety of what you're covering, you know, unless you're covering a speech where one man or woman is commanding the floor and they're giving a speech, then of course you convey what that speaker had to say. And then if you get responses to that speech, you don't want just one person responding. I mean, there's all sorts of basic practices and rules and customs of journalism. All of that, other than the distortion of facts or the obsession with this Cortez woman, all of that has just been thrown out the window, Ron. None of it's left.
Right. I'll have one other thing to bring up is this Trump deal about building the wall versus sending a wall of fire around Iran. For 2 years, he's promised to build a wall, but he asked for money from you and surveys and answer questions and all this for 2 years, and we've done very little down there. And then when it comes time to send an armada, to put a wall of fire around Iran, he didn't ask me anything. He didn't ask me to write a letter or fill out a survey or send any money. He just went and did it. I wonder then, why the hell didn't he just say, you know, here's that wall I'm going to build and send down there the armored cavalry and put a tank at every 15 feet on every 50 foot on center. I don't understand this. It's very obvious to me that the people that are running this country are in the dark. Nobody knows who these people are. And these front people in Washington, they don't do anything. I mean, they just do what they're told.
Yeah, it is disturbing. You know, when the media says, and many congressmen and congresswomen say, that President Trump should not have accessed money that was already allocated in a Pentagon budget, and he got that a couple of billion or whatever the amount was. I'll look it up later. But the implication through all of that, criticizing President Trump for accessing that money, apart from the concerns you're raising, Ron, is that military might, military assets have nothing to do with guarding the U.S. border, that the U.S. border's defense is somehow left to the gendarmes or the constabulary, that it's not a military thing. And maybe it wouldn't normally be a military thing 24/7, but as soon as there's a large scale breach of that border, whether it's, you know, then it would be in the military realm. We'll be back with more on that after this message.
Smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Returning to Stop the Presses on the 5th of June 2019. Stop the Presses runs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central and has been running on Republic Broadcasting since November of 2018. Thanks for listening live and on the archive. I'm with Ron Avery, the monthly show or so where we really get into the media and analyzing it and tearing it apart literally and figuratively on the Mark and Ron show. Now, I was saying before the break, Ron, that when President Trump, like him, hate him, good, bad, ugly, whatever, warts and all, when he accessed the money that was in a Pentagon budget that had already been allocated and approved by Congress, they tried to trot out this argument that only Congress holds the purse strings, ladies and gentlemen. when of course, the Federal Reserve actually holds the purse strings. When they basically overthrew the country virtually or nearly or maybe completely, that's what happened, at least the original republic overthrown. But the thing is that guarding a border, while it might not routinely be a military thing and can be left to constabularies like the Border Patrol and CPB and ICE and all that, when there is a major breach, whether it's hostile forces of a neighboring nation's army or whether it's people coming over in uncontrolled and large amounts over short periods of time, how can that not be largely, if not completely, the responsibility of the military. Why, you know, kind of like when the feds come in and they take over for the local sheriff. Hey, sheriff, this is an FBI thing now. This guy's been transporting dead bodies across state borders, across state lines. This is a federal thing now. Well, they're bringing things across international borders. So why isn't that made a federal thing in terms of the military? What is this patchwork quilt of chaos that this country is embroiled in?
Well, I think it's indicative of a powerful group of people that want generally open borders throughout the world, so that there's a complete mix of different kinds of people in every country. And that's where there's no consensus. There's no cultural likeness. There's nothing that people identify with one another. And it's just it's a melting pot with nothing melted. And you just have all these different people all clamoring together and no consensus. And so it's a breakdown of any identity and cohesiveness of these societies, and therefore they can be easier ruled by a central powerful organization like the UN or the global bankers or whatever. And I think that's who it is. The global bankers want all these borders open, including America's, but they also want to defend Israel. So they'll send all of American military might at the drop of a hat without asking anybody to Iran or into the Middle East, anywhere else, but they will not guard and they don't want our American borders protected. It's that simple.
Yeah, interesting. You know, and even the most strident Israeli apologists, those that unabashedly want to honor Israel's every whim, I would think that they would not want America, at least not want America, to come in on the losing end of assisting Israel, whatever one might think of the Israeli state. And there's a whole range of opinions, although I think the Likud party and Benjamin Netanyahu are decidedly bad news, and many Jews don't like Netanyahu. So they're, you know, it's not like all Jews think exactly alike in this modern age. And I've got to think they must wonder about America defending the Likud party in particular and saving Netanyahu's skin, saving him from political oblivion while he's enmeshed in quarrels and enmeshed in corruption. And he didn't even form a full coalition in their parliamentary government. And so some of this might be to save Netanyahu's skin, which is an even worse reason to send those forces to the Middle East. But all that being said, one somewhat puzzling development, though some might see it as highly promising, is Mexico, under pressure, reportedly is closing its doors, according to the mainstream. And that means that El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras are not getting into Mexico as easy. Those so-called migrants leaving those Central American countries, they're not getting into Mexico as easy. The story is that the tariffs on Mexican goods that Trump is enacting, and I want to get the details on that in some future articles at thetruthhound.com and other outlets that I write for, but the tariffs reportedly, so we understand, I'm not saying it's a hard fact altogether, are pressuring Mexico to close or at least limit those coming across its border, which would in turn cut off the migration chain up here and provide time to build the so-called wall. Maybe that's a silver lining. Given what you said, Ron, which is very largely true, that the globalist cartels that are most often represented by the visible ones, like the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission, they want this sameness, this really actually a lack of diversity, disguised as diversity, a melting pot that won't melt, a hodgepodge in each country where no one can agree on what to do, no one can reach a consensus, there's no real concord or unity. Despite that, despite those globalist forces, maybe the Trump administration is trying to do the right thing a little bit here by pressuring Mexico to close its borders with Central America. But given what you said, we're going to have to take the attitude of show me, don't tell me. In other words, they're going to have to prove by smaller numbers of people entering the U.S. southern border that they are really actually doing this in Central America and that Mexico is actually getting on the stick here. Trust but verify. Trust but verify. I can't say it enough.
Yeah, I'm still kind of concerned, though, that where rather than pressure some of the powers that be in our own country to do the right thing, we pressure Mexico or some other country. Why not pressure those powers in our own country and say, listen, we're not sending any troops over to the Middle East anymore until we have a southern border. Now, you get used to that. And all you Middle Eastern warmongers, we're not sending any more troops over there till we have a southern border. Now, get hold of that. We're sending no armada to Iran. Forget it. I think there would be a border on the southern wall if they did that.
You know, that's interesting. And that would be a good way to put it if you were giving someone a pronouncement or even an ultimatum. Until we get a southern border, not until we secure our southern border, until we get a southern border or regain a southern border, then we'll get back to you. Don't call us, we'll call you.
I like it. Now, see, I believe you'd see a border going up. And I think that's a good argument to make. If America can't have a border, we're not putting a border around anything else. You can forget it. America's going to have a border before we build any other country's borders.
Yeah. Now getting into sort of the extrapolating out from the illegal alien border defense issues and everything we're talking about today here on the 5th of June at Unstop the Presses, the front of the New York Times. I hate to be raising this paper again. May 31st, I'm holding it with rubber gloves, and I'm wearing a hazmat mask, by the way.
That's good.
It says here that a partisan, somebody who's biased, pushed the census question over citizenship. Note the headline. A partisan pushed census question over citizenship. In other words, the question of citizenship is somehow not the right thing to do. Anyway, semantics aside, it turns out that according to the Times, a writer called Michael Wines, W-I-N-E-S, more like W-H-I-N-E-S, right? Mm-hmm. Thomas B. Hoffeller achieved near mythical status in the Republican Party as the Michelangelo of gerrymandering, the architect of partisan political maps that cemented the party's dominance across the country. But after Thomas B. Hoffeller died last summer, his estranged daughter discovered hard drives in her father's home that revealed something else. Mr. Hoffeller had played a crucial role in the Trump administration's decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. Files on those hard drives show that he wrote a study in 2015 concluding that adding a citizenship question to the census would allow Republicans to draft even more extreme gerrymandered maps to stymie Democrats. Now, so they're saying that it's a Democrat-Republican thing. This guy was a Republican partisan. How dare he put a citizenship question in the census without looking deeper at the more fundamental question? Should a citizenship question be in the census? And a quick note before you comment, Ron, is they've got the mayor of McAllen, Texas, here in the Rio Grande Valley that I live in most of the year, the far south Texas bordering Mexico. The mayor of McAllen, one of the most populous cities in the Rio Grande Valley, coming on TV in a 2-minute ad, pretty long ad, explaining why that census should not have a citizenship question and why it's just such a great idea to just leave that question out. What's going on here?
Well, to me, it's pretty obvious that they've tried to make it a Republican and Democrat thing when I don't think it has much to do with parties at all. It has to do with wanting our borders open again. The people that really hold power in this country are the bankers and the ones that issue our credit through the Federal Reserve, as you know, the ones that allow us to have credit. And that's where the real power is, and they want these borders open. But they blame other people for this and that. And now I forgot where I was going with it.
Well, the fundamental need that we talked about off the air for a headcount of the actual tax-paying citizens, the actual countrymen, if I dare say such anachronistic words, that live in the nation, another anachronistic word called the United States of America. You know,
well, let me bring up one other thing which popped into my mind immediately when you brought this topic up. Citizenship. The earliest thing I ever knew about citizenship was in the Bible, the New Testament, when Jesus was born. Remember, they had to go to Bethlehem. Why did they have to go to Bethlehem? Because the ruler of that area at the time demanded the census, but everybody be counted in the land of their birth. So Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because that was the land of his birth. So they had to take the baby Jesus there or they were on their way when he was born to go get the census. Well, what was it about? It was about taxation. It's about how much money, how many people, but it's all about citizens. That's what it is about. It's not taxing everybody that's around or how many people are wandering around. You might want to, it'd probably be good to know that too. But you have countries have a right to do things. Countries have a right to defend their borders. Countries have a right to know how many people they have in it. Countries have a right to know how many citizens are in it. What are we trying to manage something without any knowledge? I mean, why do they bother with a census? I mean, if we're not supposed to have any knowledge, why have a census? I mean, if we want to just be completely open, and believe it or not, a lot of people are going there as to total anarchy, just get rid of government altogether. Well, you know that's not going to work. But, I mean, this makes no sense to me. I mean, and I think the people that are doing this really know that it all makes no sense. They're just pushing this agenda. They don't care if it makes sense or not. It's what they want to rule the world.
Well, what you were saying during the break when we were talking off the air is very salient, and that is, put in simple terms, yeah, you might want to know how many people are here who aren't citizens. That's worthwhile knowing. That's worthwhile data. But you definitely, for purposes of a census, like the Bible illustrated, you would want people in the land of their birth so they can be counted in that proper land, in that proper context, and you would know, and you would want to know exactly how many people you have who are actually citizens. And in our day and age, know those who are here who are not citizens so you can differentiate. Of the 370 million who are here, 349 million are citizens and 21 million are not, let's just say, for example. That's very valuable data. You know how many citizens you have, and you know how many people are here who aren't citizens. Then you break that down and go, how many of those have legal visas? How many of those have overstayed their visas? How many of those simply crossed the border and were not caught? How many crossed the border and were caught or detained? Of those, how many were deported? I mean, why would any government not want to have all that valuable hard data? I mean,
well, it's pretty obvious that there's a lot of people in government that don't really like our government and have never liked our government from the very beginning. I'm convinced. I know people that are in government, whole government jobs, that don't like the government. They don't like any. I mean, well, if they don't really like it, what are they doing in it? And if they don't like what the original purpose of America was, which was to protect religious freedom and have a land where people could own property and live without feudalism and live with religious freedoms protected, I mean, see, these people have forgotten what all this is about, and it's all about protection of groups. So this guy down like you're talking about, McAllen or whatever, he's afraid that people, if they put on there about citizenship, it's going to reveal how many aren't and where they're staying. They're afraid they're going to be rounded up and sent across the border. Well, I mean, why not, though? That's what this is all about. I mean, why should we have 10 million illegal aliens living in Texas?
Exactly. You know, granted, there's going to be a few that kind of leak in, you know, a little bit of leeching through, you know, some that genuinely do deserve asylum and all that. You see the subversion here, that once again, that the media is carrying out or nurturing along with these local officials like Jim Darling. We're naming names here, the mayor of McAllen, Jim Darling. Well, I don't know who he's the darling of. certainly not anyone that believes in playing by the rules. And, you know, the people that are running things are real quick to say that those that criticize them believe in chaos, that we're anti-government, that we don't believe in law and order. They are the ones that don't believe in law and order. They are the masters of chaos and subversion.
Absolutely.
Talk about projection.
Yes.
I mean, utter and total lawlessness from our news pages to our city halls to our state capitals. You know, the Texas legislature, you know, they can't even pass a bill that says let's have an accountable vote count. And, you know, of course, there's a redundancy there. Even if you did have an accurate vote count, what would be the result in this kind of culture? But they can't even do that. They can't even say let's have a paper trail that's accountable with electronic voting machines, let alone the idea of going back to hand-counted paper ballots, which would have a lot of benefits. I mean, you know what I mean? They can't even make a peanut butter sandwich here, Ron.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, it shows you how inept the government has become, but it's because there's no unifying purpose already. It's every man for himself. They're all arguing for different sects of society, different little pieces. Well, that was never really the purpose of America, was that just everybody get in there and fight for a chunk. That wasn't the idea. The idea was that everybody's property would be protected, their life, their liberty, and their possessions, everybody. Well, that's not what it is anymore.
Yeah, no one is above the law, and no one is beneath its protection, as a candidate for the Constitution Party said a few years back when I covered one of their events in Michigan. We always don't hear that second part. We hear no one is above the law, so we never right. we never hear, but no one is beneath its protection.
Amen.
And so there it goes, ladies and gentlemen, and so it goes, I think is a better way of saying it. Yeah. We have newspapers that are nurturing chaos, politicians at the local level, and they echo or parrot that chaos and promulgate it through ill-conceived policies and advertisements on TV. And like you say, Ron, it's just like whoever just happens to be standing on U.S. soil, when that census guy comes to the door, or that guy or lady comes to the door, whoever happens to just be standing there, whoever happens to just be crossing the country at any given time, they just happen to be there. Well, they get counted, and they could be gone tomorrow.
Right.
And in places like Texas, you have, you know, an inordinate amount of people that aren't from America who are staying. So therefore, Texas could get too much federal funding and have over representation in Congress, since
absolutely
the census numbers are used for federal funding, for how much representation you get in the House of Representatives.
That's
we have
right.
38 reps are sent from Texas to Washington now in the House. What if we had 41 reps because of an artificially inflated population, but that gap between 38 and 41 reps was due to people that are not citizens?
Well, you are so right. These smaller states, Mark, ought to be raising hell about that. Say, you better put citizenship on there, or we ain't even having a census.
We do have a caller, and I'm going to have to say to the caller, you're going to have to be really quick. From Wisconsin, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we've only got a couple of minutes. It's late in the show.
Okay,
go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Murray, Wisconsin, and I called you before when this was going around, which was about April 24th, and this is what they do. They come around with something, then they pound you with some staged events for trauma, and then they come back around with the same stuff, the same bait. Remember, a federal citizen has no domicile, no rights, no constitution, okay? We can't. The plenary powers of Congress then rule. So I told you about this before, and I'm posting it again in the stopthepresses.tatango.com. But John Stantmiller had run a couple of the articles on Republic Broadcasting then when they were passing those bills, and Wilbur Ross got this on the census. But it's a trick for the rest of us. So you can acknowledge that it's on there. I would put NA, not available. I wouldn't mark it as being a citizen of the United States. That's wrong.
Oh, I see what she's talking about. Yeah, that's...
you know, we live in the separate states, the many states, don't we? And we don't even want to be citizens there. We live there. But this denies you any rights, any domicile.
That's probably a 14th Amendment item. Send a copy of your article to RBN, and they'll send it to me, would you?
Well, RBN had it posted, and what's your email?
We know what she's talking about, Mark.
Go ahead and comment, Ron. I'll make sure that the board operator get you my email.
Oh, I'll send it to the board op. Okay, I'll send it to the board op.
I'm sending my email to them right now. Go ahead and comment, Ron.
Yeah, she's just talking about.
Thank you. I'll hang out. Bye bye.
I think you're on to it, too, the 14th Amendment thing and all that, where it makes everybody a federal citizen instead of a state citizen and all of that. Well, I'm not really sure about all that. I've heard that for years and years, and it's been to me, it's very difficult to prove any of this stuff like that. And first of all, I don't think it takes any rights away from you. I don't even know. This stuff can't do that. I mean, there's all kinds of manipulations or what they might think it is. But most people try to come up with a reason why things are the way they are rather than just admitting that it has become tyranny. It's just unlawful government is what we have. It's not how they've lawfully created something else where we are subjects we have no rights lawfully. That's garbage. I don't care what they do with the government. We have God-given rights. Amen to that.
Yeah. Rights pre-exist and predate any government that would be hired to secure those rights. And as the Declaration says, when the government hired to be guardians of those rights fails, it is the right and duty of the people to throw off the old guard and bring in a new guard. And
there you go.
What you seem to be saying, Ron, is what she is saying, Murr, might be technically accurate, but it's kind of superfluous now because we're sort of past that, if I'm understanding
absolutely.
You right.
I mean, exactly. But I still think it's good to know who's citizens and who ain't, and citizen of whatever by whatever.
Yeah, a natural-born American citizen or American national versus those that are not American nationals. All right, thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out on the archive for today's show, and we'll see you next time here on Stop the Presses. I'm Mark Anderson. Thanks, Ron.
You bet. Thank you, Mark.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN.